The Science Show on RN, where we are looking forward to The Chase, starting this week, a special four-part series about science conducted on the hoof. In the first programme, Jonathan Webb takes us on board the Stratospheric Observatory for Infrared Astronomy, or SOFIA. Here's a taste.
Yeah.
We're going to be climbing to 34,000 feet and levelling off there for a little while.
If you picture this plane from the outside, it looks like any other 747, except at the back, just in front of the tail, on the left-hand side, there's a big sliding door. We're about an hour into the flight, and the first step is to get it open.
Safety on six, can you deflate the seal, please?
To hear what's going on, I'm plugged into the radio channel that Karina, the mission director, is using to communicate with the scientists and the telescope operators and the flight crew.
Correct. Circuit breakers all in and seal deflated.
Thank you very much.
So the hatch is now rolling upward.
The door is open.
And the huge telescope is now looking straight up into the night sky. It's in its own compartment down at the back of the plane. And the hatch, that opening, is so carefully shaped and engineered that out there, all of the air is basically flowing right over the top of the opening. This is Spike Tellier. He's the co-pilot.
A lot of folks have asked me, they go, hey, Spike, when you open the door, can you feel it? I go, absolutely not. And they look at you like, huh? Because if you see a picture of the airplane with the door open, you see this gaping hole in the back, and folks think, oh, it's got to affect the airplane, and it really doesn't. We have about a 2% degradation with the door open on fuel mileage, which is essentially nothing.
A remarkable piece of engineering, and it works, as you'll hear in the program. SOFIA successfully observed Titan, the largest moon of Saturn, by flying to precisely the right location to see it pass in front of a distant star. It's an observation called an occultation. And especially for the Science Show this week, the astronomer on board the flight, Dr. Michael Person, speaks to Jonathan about his memories from the night and gives an update on what the measurements may have revealed so far.
It always impresses me how clear the memories are of each one. We have done dozens of occultations over the years, but I remember them all fairly clearly, that each one is different. The SOFIA ones are certainly more memorable than the rest because you get to fly around on the aircraft. And Titan was the first time we've done Titan in something like 15 years. We have been waiting for a good opportunity and in many ways waiting for SOFIA to come along to give us that sort of mobile capability with a high quality instrument that we can get detailed look in Titan's atmosphere from the Earth, which is difficult to do.
First time in 15 years, must have been a relief to get the data in the bag. And your team's been working hard on it since?
Yes, we've been looking at it. It's quite an interesting puzzle. One of the things we wanted to do was, first of all, compare the data to the data that came from 2003. And second, see what that means for, you know, the evolution of Titan's atmosphere. And we had a couple of puzzles remaining back from 2003. The occultation parameters didn't really match that from the Titan lander.
Right. This was the lander that the Cassini spacecraft sent down to the surface.
So we were looking at an occultation data set from half a decade before we got the lander data, and they were different. And the question was, are those differences due to changes over time or differences in technique? So what we were hoping to do was get new data and compare them to both of the old sets and see, you know, if we could start putting together a bigger picture. And what we got was a set of data that seemed to indicate the atmosphere is different than both of those times. So at the moment, we're very intrigued about the possibility that Titan's atmosphere is highly dynamic.
Can you paint us a picture of what sort of conditions there are there on the surface based on your findings? It's a very different world from Earth, but in some ways it's got more atmospheric properties similar to Earth than lots of other places in the solar system.
Yes, like Earth, Titan's atmosphere is mostly made of nitrogen, but it's very cold compared to Earth. At these temperatures, though, you still have all of the standard dynamic pressures. You know, sunlight comes in, warms parts, others are cooling, so the air is moving around constantly. This creates storms, this creates precipitation. We think during a particularly stormy season, it can receive a foot a day of hydrocarbon rain. So there's a lot of action happening in the atmosphere.
And what are the parameters that you're seeing change the most from those different measurements, and how do they translate to what the conditions would be there on the surface of this moon?
The main things we see changing are the global pressure, which seems to be going up and down as each different observation is giving us different measurements, and also the asymmetry of the atmosphere. There's a very strong dynamic wind structure moving around in the atmosphere, and that is the thing that seems to change most event to event. The current event is showing much more asymmetry, a much higher bulge than the previous ones did.
So it's windier.
Yes. The global jet stream, if you will, has gotten much stronger in the last few years.
And it's changing in ways that you didn't expect by the sounds.
It's always an adventure when you get one of these new data sets. You sort of expect to see what you've seen before, but you hope not to. And really, the solar system, more often than not, gives us what we haven't seen before.
Dr. Michael Person from MIT, speaking to our own Jonathan Webb. Do listen to The Chase at 1 p.m. on Sunday on RN, or whenever you like via the ABC Listen app.